And this is the last that you'll be hearing from me about Mary. John 19. We'll go to verse 25. It says, therefore the soldiers did these things, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own household. Amen. And so you can, you know, we've been talking about Mary and just kind of getting a glimpse of who she was and what she did as a mother, as a parent, and could very well be one of the most difficult things that a mother would have to go through is to see the death of their child. And Mary Magdalene, or it's not Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is, you know, this person that, I mean, really, really, you know, obviously did care for her son to the point that she's there when he's being crucified. And that's kind of would seem pretty horrific to have been a witness to all the pain and a witness to all the anguish that a child is going through. And then Jesus makes this prophetic declaration. And we've talked about this at church many times. Now, I want to draw the context if you've never heard anything on this passage yet. Jesus, when he hangs on the cross, he makes seven very specific statements to individuals, and some just into as a prayer to the Lord, as a comment or speech to God. But he makes seven very specific statements. The first statement that he that he makes is a really famous one, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? And all of these are very, very prophetic, and they really teach us about an aspect of our faith, you know, and about a Christian life that obviously is very important. And you can just put it into the words of it's the prayers or the sayings, the last words of a dying man. Right? And so he comes to his mother, and you have to remember that the heart of the Lord Jesus in this whole thing, he was always a great son. We read yesterday that he said that he subjected himself right before his parents. And in Hebrews will tell us that he submitted, you know, to the suffering and whatnot. And we see that even in his death, he reserves, you know, the one of his seven words, you know, I mean, in incredible pain. And if you understand the cross and, you know, come Easter or Good Friday service, we'll talk about this again. You know, the incredible pain of breathing that the Lord had to endure on the cross just to be able to take a breath. And so obviously speaking requires breath. And so he's in this anguish and he looks to his mother. And this time, you know, it's pretty clear that his father, Joseph, had already passed away. Okay, so people, where's Joseph? History tells us that he probably died somewhere along his adolescence. And so only Mary and his brothers and sisters are there. And so he, as a Jewish system, and very much like many of our cultures, right, the eldest son is in charge of the parents, you know, in their old age. And so his, you know, his duty, just purely as a son on earth, right, would be to take care of his mother. And so he really begins to express even more so, you know, the fulfillment of what Moses said. Remember, you know, when they accuse Jesus of things, he says, I did not come to abolish the law. He says, I came to fulfill them. Right? And so it's not like Jesus came and wiped out the law. He fulfilled it. In other words, he made the law more complete, you know. And so, you know, one of the parts of the law says, honor your mother and father. And Jesus is the prototypical son. And that's exactly what he does. He's always honoring his parents. Even in his death, even in his dying breath, he reserves to honor his mother and father, Right? I mean, that should really speak to many of us in many different ways. But then the son does something, you know, a little different. And so he tells her, again, right now he's using the same words, right? The prophetic projection, you know, that we saw in John 13. He says, woman, right? Doesn't call her mother. You know, there was a shift that occurred, you know, at some point of his life where it, you know, and I mean, just easily put, right? It's, we just call it prophetic projection, right? And says, woman, behold your son. You know, and so, and the son that he's referring to is John the Beloved. Okay? And he says, and then he turned to disciples, says, behold your mother. And so Jesus gives the care of his mother, which is his duty as a firstborn son, and he gives the care not to his brother Judas and, you know, Clopas and those guys who were his blood brothers, and they would have, according to the Jewish system, received the responsibility, you know, after Jesus, but he gives Mary into the care of his disciple John. And I think what Jesus is trying to say here, you know, and again, we've talked about this so much, is the incredible bond, right, that we have as church, you know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we really are one family, you know. I was listening yesterday to a message by, you know, one of my best friends, and this is his life message, and it's called Pride and Prejudice, and he just finished a seven-part series, right? And I think he's going to continue on. Right? It's fantastic. And he writes in there, part of that, he writes about, you know, what does the world, he says, what does the world have? You know, they only have some kind of like familial bond with one another, you know, and it's kind of empty. But in the church, as Christians, you know, we can really look to each other and says, you are my brother in Christ. You are my sister in Christ. And it has an eternal depth of meaning. You know, and Jesus is signifying the kind of relationships that he expects to have in the church. You know, that is expected to blossom. You know, that, you know, bloodlines are very important. We understand that. You know, but it pales in comparison to the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so he's giving us a model of what relationships in church should look like, that we really are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why if you really draw from this, and if you take this snapshot and then begin to look at Jesus' teachings, right? You understand what he's saying, because he says a non-believer should never go, you know, sue someone in a non-believer's court. Why? It'd be the same way. Would you sue your brother? I mean, it would just seem so, I mean, I know people do that still, right? You know, but it would seem so ridiculous, you know, that, I mean, you know, I think of, you know, I've got two brothers, right? An older brother, a younger brother. I mean, you're talking something really, really, in fact, it's not even in my radar that actually I would sue them for something. You know what I mean? Because we're brothers, and I know that, you know, we live in 2009, almost 2010, and the world is even more fallen, and people do this, and they murder each other, and all this kind of stuff. But it just seems so unfathomable that we should do that. And if we begin to look at, Jesus' teachings on relationships, you know, on, you know, I'm not talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, or married. I'm just talking about relationships we have with people. You know, we see that the root of this, the foundations by which the teaching comes forth, is talking about this supernatural bond that we have with one another. Right? And so he says, you know, and Paul will carry on this teaching, you know, prefer one another. Right? Look at others more important than yourself. You know, don't forsake the gathering together. You know, and so all these things that they talk about, you know, when they talk about fellowship and, you know, and caring for another and bearing each other's burdens and whatnot, it draws from this foundation, right, that we are one family. You know, and so Jesus, you know, brings this depiction, you know, into that place, entrusting Mary, you know, his mother, to the care of John the Beloved. You know, and so we know the story that John does take Mary in. you know, and for the rest of their lives. And so they settle in Ephesus, and they become the leaders of the church in Ephesus, right, the Ephesian church. And so we see that history was John was true to history in that he did take care of Mary. And so let's close our eyes today, and I'm going to hit you on a couple different fronts. The first one is in this aspect of honoring your mother and father. Now, let me make this kind of addendum to this thing, okay? Honoring your parents and obeying your parents are two different things, right? Paul will say, you know, obey your parents in the Lord, which is a very, very important statement or add-on to that. We should always honor our parents, always, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that we should always obey them, especially if they're asking us to do something that is contrary to the will of God. In fact, we can disobey them and still honor them. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, I mean, if you're living in India, you know, or somewhere, and your parents want to sell you into the sex trade and slavery to make some more money, yeah, you don't have to obey them. You know, if it's in your power, right? You know, that's in a very extreme case. You know, but what if your non-Christian parents are forcing you or really drawing you to marry some guy or not marry some guy for frivolous reasons? That's not honoring Christ, and he's the head. And so there's a difference between honoring and obeying. You should always honor your mother and father. It doesn't necessarily mean that you should obey everything they say. Right now, if they're asking you to obey and it lines up with the Word of God and the heart of God, yeah, of course, you should obey. But if they're asking you something that's contrary to the will and the Word of God, then your duty is to honor, not necessarily to obey. It's a fine line, I know. And as adults, that's what part of being an adult is, that we maneuver through that fine line. And so if you, you know, as you look at your parents, if you can honestly say, you know what, I am honoring to them, then praise God. But if you're not, then you settle this with God. And then the other thing I want you to focus on is that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That it does mean something when we say, call each other brother or sister, or have that affection in our hearts. Now, if you have a situation with a brother or sister, you know, and love is not the most important compound there, then I think you need to get things straight. And so let's go before the Lord over those two matters as Pastor Nate leads us.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you, and
let's pray this morning. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray that we'd be a God-honoring, mother and father-honoring congregation, that we would really put God first in everything that we do as a church, that we would be excellent in all the relationships that we have in church and outside of church. You know, there's the Bible in Timothy talks about the idea of the leader or the deacon or the elder. And, you know, one of the things it says that they have excellent relationships in the church and also an excellent reputation outside the church. Let's pray that over our community, and especially over this, as we talk today about honoring our mother and father, that that would be something that's, that is really, something that's, being done and cared for, as individuals, within the church. You know, as a promise there, he says when that happens, that your life would be made full, right? That your days would be full, the Bible says. Let's just lift that up to God. Let's cover our services over this weekend. Let's ask God to just really bless and to draw us near. I know there's a ton of SPers going to Korea this weekend. And let's just cover Kiwon and Christina's wedding. There's going to be, from my understanding, 1,000 people there. And let's pray that as I officiate, that, you know, that I would be able to share the gospel in a very coherent, not so forceful, but the message would be very clear, and people would really come to understanding. And pray with Matt as well, as he also translates. Let's pray for the intercessor prayer team on Saturday as they pray together. Let's pray for the youth group on Saturday night. Are you guys meeting Saturday night? Right. Let's pray that God would just really bless them. And who's speaking? Janice Chan. Let's pray for Janice, and the Lord would just really bless her and give her words to speak. Pray for our Sunday services, that God really anoint Pastor Sam Kim as he shares the word, and that Noah's Ark and the kids would draw near to the Lord, and God would just really have his way. Just really ask the favor of God over all the meetings and all the groups and all the ministries, and that the Lord would just really stir us in that way. So let's just cover this weekend. Let's pray this morning for our welcoming team. Let's pray that God would just continue to bless them and just really give them a real spirit of joy, and there would be such an atmosphere of welcome and love and acceptance as soon as people step into this door, and the welcome team are going to be the real forerunners into that. Let's pray for Sandro as he leads this ministry, that God would just continue to give him wisdom and ideas, and this team that he's built together, that the Lord really use them not just to pass out a bulletin, you know, or a Bible, but to really draw people into the fellowship, and they would not feel lost or alone or in any way like that when they come to church on Sunday. So let's just cover the welcoming team and pray for more than anything, for just the atmosphere to change. You know, the welcoming is not just for the team. It's actually for everyone at church, right? We're all part of the welcoming team in such a way. You know, these guys are just the leaders of that. And so let's pray for real atmospheric change in the whole church, right? That it wouldn't be us four no more mentality, that we would all be welcoming. But especially let's pray for the welcoming team today. Let's pray this morning in our missions focus. Let's pray over Southeast Asia, right? Let's ask God to bless. We have a team going to Manila next week. Ask God to just really bless the team. It's kind of a large team, and it'll be Pastor Nate and Jihei will be leading that. And let's ask God's favor. Let's pray for Cambodia as well, and New Life Church and the ministries that we support and do things with. Let's ask God to just really bless them and really draw near and close to what's going on with Cambodia and with Pastor Oh. And so just lift up these two mission bases before God. And lastly, let's pray for our building search and our fund and God to really bless and give us ideas. Pray for the steering committee members that they would just do their work diligently with joy and God would just open doors for us as a church. And this would be a real time for us to really come together as a body and for people to really stake an ownership of this place. And let's just cover the move. Lord, we thank you. God, we bless you this morning. Lord, help us to be mindful, God, of our hearts in relation to our parents, Lord. And we ask, God, that you would just help us to honor them, Lord. Help us to obey them, God, when it's right in your eyes, Lord. And so we pray, Jesus, that you would just move upon us as a community, God. Stir us, God, to obedience. Stir us, God, to faith, Lord. And all that we do, Lord, let us bring glory to Jesus. We thank you, God. Watch over us this day, Lord. I know it's getting colder. Keep us warm, Lord. Keep the people in Hong Kong warm during this time, Father. And we just ask for your hand to be upon us that we may serve you, God, for the sake of your glory, God. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. And we'll see some of you guys tomorrow.